Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you? Judging by those football fans who are weighing in right now on Facebook and Twitter and chattering about the games coming up this weekend, I think we all have a lot of spirit. You're really excited, as I am, about the divisional round of the playoffs. We're down to just 7 games left in the NFL season. We will be taking our show on the road to Miami. So I was looking at some maps and kind of plotting the course. Miami is, it's got some sprawl to it. The airport is about 12 miles from the Miami Beach Convention Center where Radio Row is located. And neither one of those is in North Miami, where I will have to go to get to the studios at 790 The Ticket to host the show at night. But it's all right. I've done this before. I've taken the show to Miami multiple times since I joined CBS Sports Radio, so I'm pretty familiar with the lay of the land. Here's the best part. There is a 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts, at least there was the last time I was there, right next door to where the radio studios are located. So that's the most important thing. I always have to know, where's the grocery store and where are the coffee shops when I go to another city to host the show? So I'm excited about taking after hours to Miami. After hours hit South Beach. Oh, we could have some fun with that. But we've got some games to get to before then, and I'm not traveling this weekend. Actually, I am really looking forward to, yet again, sitting in my very comfortable chair, wearing my sweatpants while I take my notes during Saturday and Sunday's games. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Which is the game that you would most like to see in person this weekend? Which is the one that you're most looking forward to? Judging by the weather forecast for Green Bay, man, that could be classic at Lambeau Field between the Seahawks and the Packers. There could be a lot of snow. I'm still torn, though, because I love Arrowhead Stadium for a big game. It is so unbelievably loud. And when I was there for a playoff game, going back to my days in local radio, I remember watching the first half of the game on the sidelines. And by the time I hit the press box at halftime, I could not feel my feet. It was that cold that I could not feel my feet. This was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And so I think being at Arrowhead on Sunday would also be pretty amazing. Of course, the Bay Area, Levi Stadium, San Francisco 49ers haven't won a playoff game in, 7 years? It's going back 7 years now? No, it would have been 6 years, right? Because of 2013. Nope. See, I'm getting my years wrong. It's the 2012 season, 2013 playoffs, right? So they've gone to hell and back. But the Niners are alive and a top seed. And certainly the Vikings are coming in with great momentum. And then all the purple in Baltimore on Saturday evening will be fantastic as well. So I actually said to the guys earlier, I don't know which game I would want to be at more than anything. I guess if you put my feet to the fire, I probably would say Green Bay, only because I've got all kinds of family in the area. But Arrowhead Stadium would be a choice if I had no Wisconsin ties. So find our poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. And while you're there, believe it or not, Mike Leach is currently leaning for the After Hours Hall of Fame induction. John Gruden's getting a lot of love, though, too. It's because you can imagine him making the faces, even as he...
I can't deal with it anymore, really. Sorry.
Good luck to the Patriots. You can imagine him making those faces where he's all scrunched up and he looks like Chucky, the eyebrows and all that jazz. So
I mean, I feel like someone's smashing my temple on the side of the head.
Ow. So check out that poll as well, both on Twitter as well as on Facebook. We need you to vote for the next Hall of Flame inductee. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. To have the talent of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson on the same field, not at the same time, but the same field, the same place, the same game, that in and of itself, I think, is worth the price of admission. Now, Mahomes is the reigning NFL MVP, not likely to repeat, but what he did last season with the 5,000-plus yards, the 50 touchdown passes, he looks like that quarterback. These last few weeks, the Chiefs win the AFC West. They've got six consecutive wins just by virtue of that win streak and the Patriots not taking care of business at home. They have the tie break against New England, the bye, the two seed. To me, they're flying under the radar,
which Mahomes magic
is crazy considering that Mahomes is the MVP and they have a bye. And they won another 12 games. But because of all the attention on New England, the defending champ, and the Ravens for what they've done this season, 14-2, rightfully so, I kind of think, and overlook is the wrong word, but they're definitely not in the white-hot spotlight that they were a year ago. And then we have the Texans coming into Arrowhead Stadium off of what was a take-charge performance for Deshaun Watson. I mean, they were clinging to life support against the Buffalo Bills. No points until the final 2 minutes of the third quarter. And then Deshaun Watson went to work. The 20-yard touchdown scamper, that was the one that you chose for TD of the week. His elusiveness, his athleticism, And there were seven sacks in there, but he avoided just as many. And that signature moment in overtime that really set the tone for Wild Card Weekend. Two defenders about to make a Watson sandwich. And he has this perfectly timed spin move to get away from both of them. Leave them wondering what happened. Yes, like the black cat of Monday Night Football. Thank you, Kevin Harlan. And he rolls out and delivers downfield for the play that puts them in range for the game-winning field goal. Amazing. That was my favorite moment of Wild Card Weekend. And now we get these two quarterbacks in the same place. And as you can imagine, they have a ton of respect for one another because of the style of play. Also because there's no way that you can avoid seeing what the other has done just by virtue of highlight reels.
If you've watched Deshaun since college, and I'm sure even since high school, they're never out of a game. I mean, he's someone that can make big plays happen no matter what the scenario is, and he's going to fight until the end. And so you know that going into the game, so you know that coming in as an offense and as a defense and as a team, you have to make sure that you're on top of it all game long. It's going to be a 60-minute fight or even longer, whatever it takes. I mean, you have to make sure that you come in with that mentality that you're going to play your best football every single snap.
It's cool. I mean, it's cool to see a fellow friend of mine and a guy that's playing the same position as me have so much success and sit in live action. So it's definitely dope. It's going to be a good experience.
It's definitely dope. Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes. There is, of course, the challenge for each of the defenses. Now, Mahomes isn't a running quarterback, but man, on the move, he can deliver bullets downfield. And we've seen him switch to the left hand when he's about to get pulled down. We've seen him escape the same kind of trouble that Watson has. Watson with a little more experience. And I think at least this is my opinion, Watson a little more athletic in terms of his ability to extend or create plays. But Mahomes has a cannon for an arm. I mean, they're both just so much fun at that position. And so what about the defense? What do you do? And this is a real challenge when you think about each of these defensive units. And something I had said earlier this week is that as much as the Chiefs offense has gotten attention, and it should, I mean, it, as they say, they've played extremely well. Mahomes is back into an incredible rhythm. Over 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, and this is even though he missed, what, 4 or 5 weeks? You also have to look at the defense. You have to consider that that defense is maybe one of the reasons why they've been so good in the last month and a half. The defense has tightened up. After all the turnover, 7 new starters to begin the season, they completely overhauled their defense. Under Steve Spagnuolo, they've got some guys who can rush the quarterback. They've also got a much improved secondary, which includes Tyrann Mathieu, and he obviously is part of a defense that has the challenge of slowing down Deshaun Watson.
Anytime the best player on the field has the ball in his hands, you're in for a football game. So that's our mindset. Defensively, we understand that, you know, we got to disrupt his targets, but most importantly, number four, we gotta affect number four. He kind of has that Russell Wilson effect. You know, you can't beat him at everything. Some things he's going to win at. I think the most important note I can give is when you're coming for him, trying to tackle him, just to be under control.
I'll just tell you the truth. This is the game I voted for. I mean, all of them are going to be great. I just know it. I can feel it. But Arrowhead Stadium should be as loud the entire time the way that NRG Stadium was last weekend. Even when the Texans had 0 points and looked miserable on offense. With the return of J.J. Watt, the defense getting a boost. Because the Bills didn't take advantage of the opportunities when they had them. Now, they obviously started out like a house on fire with the Josh Allen touchdown catch. But the defense was playing so well, and the crowd never let up. And that's going to be the same situation for the Chiefs now at Arrowhead. The crowd does not let up. Love these atmospheres. So which of these games would you most like to attend in person? You can find our poll on Twitter or on Facebook. So A-Law Radio or Facebook page named after this here show. It is a football Friday, a Hall of Flame Friday. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Goal from the 4. Kirk takes the snap, looks right, fade left, end zone, and it is caught! Touchdown! Amazing decision by Kirk Cousins. He saw the all-out blitz. He knew he had Rudolph one-on-one with the corner.
Rudy!
And just threw the jump ball.
Oh,
what a beautiful throw!
Garoppolo looking left. Garoppolo comes back right. Garoppolo chase, throws for the end zone. It is caught by Kendrick Bourne. Touchdown, San Francisco.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Greg Papa on the Niners Radio Network. Been a long time since we've seen the Bay Area host playoff football, and earlier in the week, I had a chance to communicate with Paul Allen on the Vikings radio network. He's got so much enthusiasm and excitement, as all of these guys do. They're just so many amazing voices on the NFL play-by-play side of things. And so I'm looking forward to this game, too, because we get this reestablished tradition with the Niners. It's a completely overhauled franchise. Think about what they've gone through since the last time they were in the playoffs. I mean, it was Colin Kaepernick, for heaven's sakes, that was the quarterback. That tells you how far back we're talking about in a Super Bowl in which the lights went out. And we were just starting CBS Sports Radio. And now you've got a Kyle Shanahan in charge with a John Lynch and the adversity they went through in setting up their system and finding a quarterback and then having to remake the defense and how good the defense has been this year. And they've gone through a bunch of injuries on the offensive side of the ball that don't have to do with the quarterback. And yet they have an identity, smash mouth football. Certainly they want to set the tone on defense, but they also want to run the ball. It's amazing, right? The number of teams remaining in the playoffs who are run first offenses, which I appreciate. And yet in his first full year as a starter, Jimmy Garoppolo has gotten, sounds weird to say smarter because he's not a rookie, but he has. He's gotten smarter in making decisions in the moment. And even when he's had games with multiple turnovers, he's found a way to put that behind him and to focus on what's in front of him. And because of that, there have been multiple fourth quarter rallies and late game comebacks. And his teammates have said over and over and over again, this is our leader. This is the guy in whom we trust. And Kyle Shanahan, as someone who is from the offensive side of the ball, remember he worked with Kirk Cousins in D.C. When his dad was the head coach there, and then, of course, went through Matt Ryan and the Falcons to their Super Bowl, and that's how he got this job now working with Jimmy Garoppolo. And he's seen a lot from quarterbacks, a lot of offenses, and he's watching this progression with his own QB.
I think he's a very good leader because he's himself and people respect how he plays. Jimmy doesn't change, whether he's doing really good or really bad. I mean, or whether he has a bad day or a good day, he's going to treat everyone the same. He's always the same guy, the same friend, the same teammate. He works the same regardless.
That attitude, that personality, part of it's natural, but some of it's also learned. Learned about staying even keel in the moment, not panicking, not freaking out. Even as I say that, I think back to last weekend with that moment where Josh Allen had just scrambled and he picks up the first down and then inexplicably just throws the ball up in the air behind him. What was that about? He just looked like he freaked out in the moment. He just lost his head for a second. And certainly young quarterbacks have that propensity every now and then. It wasn't something that lost the game for them. So it's funny to laugh about now. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo stays even keel. So some of that is his personality, but some of that's also learned. When I first started in this business, there were things that would happen because it's live radio, maybe an equipment malfunction, or I would mess up, or a guest wasn't ready when he said he was going to be ready. And so I would get flustered over things that now just don't faze me. A caller would call up and say something rude. I mean, I just don't, those types of things don't, they don't affect me anymore because I've done this for so long that you just kind of know how to roll with the punches. So some of it's learned behavior, but part of it is his personality and being poised in the moment and recognizing that you're not done until the very last second ticks off the clock. And I would say part of that comes from being with Bill Belichick and with Tom Brady. Brady's a master at that. I mean, he's an emotional guy, but he recognizes that there's always another opportunity until those seconds are gone. And not losing your cool, not losing your head in those pressure-packed moments is an incredible skill and certainly necessary if you're going to be the leader of a team that's going to challenge for a Super Bowl. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Kyle Shanahan had also spoken earlier in the week about Kirk Cousins and how he has developed as a quarterback and is making great decisions and kind of seeing now all of the years that he spent in D.C. Culminating with what has been a fantastic 2 years in Minnesota. Now, I know they didn't make the playoffs last year, and the offense took a lot of criticism. But if you look at Kirk's numbers last year, they were actually really good. The offensive line was hideous, and they did not have a consistent run game. But that has all changed now, and they are getting better at playing on the road. I mean, the way that they performed both offensively and defensively in the Superdome last weekend, it was incredible. And that kind of experience gives you a world of confidence.
Playing on the road all year long, handling noise. I mean, it's going to be the same this week. So you go back to the same things you've leaned on for this season, last week, my whole career of what you got to do to handle noise and handle an adverse environment.
Do you guys remember at the start of the game between the Vikings and the Saints? I'm sorry, I do not remember what network it was on. Was that that was the last game of last weekend, right? So it would have been NBC, I think. Because I think Fox, the early game was on Fox. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. There was I was trying to give credit to the sideline reporter who did the story. But there was a report before they even kicked off that the Vikings had been going through all kinds of crazy exercises to get used to the noise inside the Superdome, and that they were doing silent snap counts and all, and they were at the line during practice throughout the week, were having Kirk Cousins whisper the snap count so that nobody could hear it anyway. And then immediately on what was it, the second or third play of the game, Adam Thielen fumbles, and you're like, well, who cares about snap counts if you can't hang on to the football? But obviously, it's not a closed environment at Levi's Stadium, so the noise is different. But still, he's right. It's a hostile environment. The Vikings are 5-4 on the road if you include the Saints win last week. Let's quick talk to Dave, who's in Youngstown, Ohio. Welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, good morning, Amy. You know what gets me pumped up in the morning? Hearing this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice god. Yeah, he's pretty amazing.
Yes. Hey, I'm calling you. First of all, I want to wish you a very awesome 2020 and your crew. Love listening to your show. I would not miss it Monday through Friday on my way to work. I mean, you're the only one I want to listen to.
That's awesome.
But when we get to this point in the season, I always say, you know, I'm a Browns fan. My wife's a Steelers fan. My wife says, I'm not watching football now. My team's not in. And I'm like, you're crazy. This is the time of year to see some incredible football. And it started last week. And what I want to ask you is, at this point in the season, and I may be a week early on this, but I think it comes down a lot to, you know, you're seeing a lot of great teams that are got that punch that can work their way to the Super Bowl. But coaching is so important, and play calling and helping their team get through rough times with good play calling and specific times. So who do you think going forward is got the mojo as a coach in these games that you feel would push a team all the way to the Super Bowl?
Are you talking about the current coaches or players who you think will develop into coaches?
No, the current coaches right now.
Yeah. You're asking me which one I think has the mojo to be a champion?
To push forward, use their strategy, good coaching to get their team to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, they're all good coaches or they wouldn't be to this level. Now, I think there is something to be said for experience. And I'm interested to see how Matt LaFleur does in his first ever playoff game as a head coach. Mike Zimmer has a ton of experience, and there's added incentive here in that they are playing for jobs. I mean, there was talk that he was going to get fired. His staff was going to get fired if they didn't win that playoff game in New Orleans or make some kind of run. I don't know. If you're going with experience, though, I don't know how much farther you need to look than John Harbaugh. I mean, or Andy Reid, either one. But John Harbaugh, a Super Bowl winning coach, and he comes from the Andy Reid tree. But I mean, we're talking about a guy who has seen and done everything on the football field and has the pedigree to prove it. So I guess if we're talking specifically coaches, then probably Harbaugh is the one I point to.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
Pete
agree
Carroll
with you.
Though too. Pete Carroll, same thing. So yeah. There are some Super Bowl winning coaches who've also been in situations where they've made the wrong calls and it's come back to bite them. And those experiences don't go away either, but they also make you a better coach.
Yeah, that's why I agree with you with Harbaugh and Baltimore. And the game I look most forward to seeing this weekend probably is that Kansas City game in Houston.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty amazing. They're all going to be awesome. I just know that they have a lot to live up to after last week with all four games separated by a single score.
Yeah. Well, hey, you have a great day, Amy. Happy New Year.
All right, Happy New Year to you, Dave. Good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got our football poll up as well as our After Hours Hall of Flame induction. We need your votes there as well. This is It's a lot of fun to preview and to go through the individual games, but all it does is make me get really anxious. Like, come on, we've been waiting all week. I need some more football already.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Three receivers left. Jimmy Graham standing up right side of the line. Snap to Rodgers, looking downfield. Lost the left side. Devontae's got it to the five, to the end zone for a touchdown. Oh, what a throw. What a catch. Devontae Adams, 29 yards.
Moore now is wide to the right side with a slot left for Russell, who goes under center. Now Lockett goes in motion. Russell play fake. Now he's going to throw down the middle. Got a man. Metcalf makes the catch diving. He is in for a touchdown. Seahawks, what a play by the rookie DK Metcalf.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steve Rabel was a former Seahawks wide receiver. Did you know that? Late 70s, early 80s. And I had a chance to ask him about DK Metcalf, the current rookie for Seattle at the same position. If you missed that conversation, it's part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com, the voice of the Seahawks joining us in the first hour from the Pacific Northwest. They have not yet traveled to Green Bay, although they are definitely keeping their eyes on the weather, right? Because there's weather pending. This could be a snow game. It could be snowballs instead of footballs. Well, snowballs and footballs at Lambeau Field coming up on Sunday. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited and jealous. If it snows at Lambeau, I will be green with envy because that's on my bucket list, going to a snow game, a football game in the snow at Lambeau Field. So, Steve Rabel, earlier on the show, Wayne Larrabee is the voice of the Packers. He's fantastic. I met him when I went to a game at Lambeau in 2018. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You guys are blowing up our Facebook page. Although, it's a dead giveaway that you don't know what we're doing with the Hall of Fame when you vote for Antonio Brown. He's not one of the candidates, not this time for the Hall of Fame. No. His former coach, his coach for a time, John Gruden, is the candidate, not Antonio Brown. Anyway, you're voting for the Hall of Fame, and we'll let you hear from the candidates again about 30 minutes from now. But write-in votes don't work in this case. You have to choose from our candidates, and that's why it helps to hear the audio. But a lot of you are excited about what we've got this weekend in the NFL. It just some really enticing and intriguing matchups and the storylines that we could see or we could not see. I mean, a week ago at this time, we were talking about the Saints looking for vindication and some unfinished business. And now it's about whether or not the Vikings can continue this upstart run through the postseason. So, yeah, this is the time of the year when you make predictions and the NFL laughs in your face, as I like to remind you all the time. 855-212-4227 on Facebook or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. This is the playoff debut for Matt LaFleur. It may seem like it's not a big deal, considering the fact that he is one of only a handful of rookie coaches ever to win 13 games in his first year. But there's definitely a learning curve. He's the guy who's calling the shots here, and everybody's looking at him. And so he's got to get his team ready, his locker room ready, but he's also got to get himself ready for the type of microscope and spotlight, the centering of the circus, all of those cliches I can use, but this is Lambeau Field in January.
My mindset, and maybe I'll feel different in the moment. That's why until you go through it, you don't really know. But it's just another game. You know, it's a great challenge. There's no doubt about it. This is a really good football team that's coming in here, and we're going to have to play our best ball to come out on top.
It's not just another game. You can tell yourself that, but it's not just another game. You ever get a and I do have a frequent chances to talk to both coaches and players. They may tell you beforehand that it's just another game, but you get them in a moment of honesty, removed from the moment, And they all say to you, it feels like a playoff atmosphere. Don't you love when we hear that phrase? Well, if it's just another game, then what the hell is a playoff atmosphere? No, it's not just another game. They'll tell you that those nerves, that anxiety. I mean, you've got guys who will say they can barely remember, or they were so nervous they were shaking. I mean, you will get them in moments of honesty where they'll admit that atmosphere, that stage, it rattled them for a time there. So it's all about controlling the emotions, too.
Playoffs?
Now, Aaron Rodgers is no stranger to these games. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's a two-time MVP. Russell Wilson isn't a stranger to these games either. And their experience is so valuable when you're talking about this type of a clash with two teams that, while they don't have the same guys out there that they did, most of the rosters turned over from the Super Bowl, still that wisdom and that perspective can mean so much.
Aaron's been a great quarterback ever since he stepped into the NFL. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, a guy, just great ability. He's clutch. You know, he's great in that moment. So the game's never over. So we got to play four quarters, a great four quarters.
Yeah, and we've seen that the Seahawks have had some slow starts themselves in the playoffs. And what do we know about Seattle? They give their fans heart palpitations. They insist on playing tight, tense, close games. Now, there's a positive. There's a silver lining. When you win those games, you're more confident, and they are 8-1 on the road. And as Russell is saying about Aaron Rodgers, they're never out of it when he's the quarterback. Well, that's the same thing with Russell Wilson. However, you play with fire, eventually you're going to get burned. And we saw them lose three of their last four games in the regular season, including the chance to be the NFC West champions, because they messed around and got burned. Now, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. The 2014 NFC Championship game. Now, that was in Seattle, so not in Green Bay. If you missed it, I was talking about this with Steve Rabel. The Seahawks haven't won at Lambeau Field since Russell Wilson was 10. So we're talking about more than two decades. He's now 31. But in 2014, the championship game was at CenturyLink. The Packers were up 16-0 at half. They were up 19-7 with 5 minutes to go. I went back and looked up all the details because I can remember the comeback, but not the specifics. The game went into overtime because of a Mason Crosby field goal with seconds remaining. And in overtime, Jermaine Kearse catches a 35-yard touchdown pass from Russell Wilson. And, of course, the Seahawks go on to the Super Bowl. And Wilson was actually talking about that game being a really valuable experience for him and for the Seahawks.
It's a great example, I think, just in NFL history and just life in general, that, you know, the game's never over, you know, and just to be able to battle and continue to go for it. And even if you're down by a bunch with 2 minutes and, I don't know, 50 seconds to go, the game is still not over.
That defines the Seahawks in Russell Wilson's tenure, but certainly this year. They've kept themselves in it, and they've come up with a bunch of fourth quarter rallies, and he makes a living doing that. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Tim, who's in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, Amy. I like to touch on the fact that this is the best weekend of the year. We have four games, best teams in the league. After this weekend, we have the two games and then the dog and pony show. I think depression kicks in after that. But Amy, do you think that?
Wait, did you just call the Super Bowl a dog and pony show?
Well, the Super Bowl is like a big hype anymore. I don't think it's not. It's for kids or something. I don't know. Poppy Bowl. What is your thoughts on that? But I just think the general population thinks that after football's over, sports are kind of dead for the year. What's your opinion on that?
Well, that it's dumb to ask me that question because I work in this business. And if you listen to my show on a regular basis, you know that I'm always enthusiastic and excited about the sports calendar. I love football and it drives the bus in my business. But sports are not dead when football ends. First of all, free agency and free agency talk kicks in. And so football still dominates the month of February. But you go into April and May, and we're talking about, well, March, April, May, we're talking about March Madness. We're talking about the start of baseball. We're talking about the NBA and the NHL postseasons. I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask if you want some validation there, but there's still plenty of football news because the new year starts over in March and there's so much speculation. Even now, what's one of the big topics? Whether or not Tom Brady's going to have a new contract with the New England Patriots. So no, sports are not dead, and the spring is one of the busiest times of the year in sports. So we're just gearing up here. As for the Super Bowl being a dog and pony show, I would say that the run up to the Super Bowl is a dog and pony show, but I like puppies. What do you have against Puppy Bowl? The game itself is the prize jewel of the NFL season, and it's 100 million people in the audience, and it's everything you could ask for in terms of the big stage. In fact, this is kind of funny. You guys have to keep your fingers crossed with me. I was talking to my mom on Thursday evening, and I was telling her, Mom, it's way past time. We are long overdue for you to make another appearance on After Hours. And she says, no, I don't know anything about football. I don't know anything about the Super Bowl. Mom, that's not the point. The Super Bowl is a game and an event that appeals to everyone. There are people who watch the Super Bowl who know zero about football. You know more about football than you think because you read my columns every week. No, I don't want to embarrass myself. Mom, we're not going to talk about football. You come on the show during Super Bowl week when I'm in Miami, and we'll talk about snacks that you take to your Super Bowl party. We'll talk about your favorite Super Bowl party you've ever been to. I've never been to a Super Bowl party, she said. Mom, that's dumb. Yes, you have. And then her husband yells in the background, reminding her of a Super Bowl party they went to. We'll talk about best travel destinations and sites for Super Bowl. We'll talk about commercials, ads that you remember about the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm still talking her into it, but I think she's a great man on the street perspective. That's a radio term, but just average Joe in June, not a football diehard. There are hundreds of millions of people who tune in all over the world to watch this game, but in the United States specifically, 100 million people. Do you know that's nearly a third of our population will be watching the Super Bowl come that first weekend in February, that first Sunday in February? And so it appeals to everyone. So dog and pony show, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of pregame that I don't watch. There are a lot of events leading up to it that are geared toward various groups of fans. So I understand it. It's all about entertainment. At the same time, the game itself is what attracts people. The game itself is what people wait all year to watch and why it's the top-rated program of the entire calendar year. Good morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.